You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 18. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow again, head and heart in your presence. God, thank you. Help us in every way, even now, for the, the children and all will thank you and thank you again. In Christ's name, amen. And thank you for all that did the work in setting up the special Friday night, and all of you that did the work to clean up. We appreciate that. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been done. Now, so in the light of that, in the light of our exercise of John 13 through 17, and our Lord is now going out into the garden and to the cross. And therefore, John is giving us a window to look at. Matthew, remember, we're looking at our Lord's wonderful ministry to them. And Matthew is going to help us understand and give us the window to see the cross and Christ as the King of Kings, King of the Jews. And Mark is going to give us the window. He's the servant of God, the servant of the Most High God. And Luke's going to help us understand he's the perfect man, the God-man, able to save us and be the perfect sacrifice. And John, at the very end of everything, is going to tell us, give us the understanding he's God. He's wonderfully, wonderfully God in the flesh. Wow. Now, having said that, so as he's going out, he spent the time with him in the upper room and gave him that special lecture, special class time, special understanding, special instruction. And we looked together, and John is going to give it because, remember the Old Testament you're looking at, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke, all of that has been done. So here's John in 95, approximately A.D., and looking, he's looking back, all of that is there. So they have that. What they don't have is what John is doing here in a Revelation. So John is giving a window to see the whole thing. Illustration. Moses is going to take the book of Deuteronomy and give you an understanding of Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, etc. He's going to give you Deuteronomy covers the basis. The Gospel of John covers the basis for us to get the thing in a package. Now, so we want to know what happened to Judas, and we did that a little bit in John chapter 18. And we looked and saw Judas, and Judas, as it was there, all of these disciples, Matthew, Peter, John, they all were there with our Lord till the very end in the upper room. So all of them have the same opportunity, the same exposure. Most of them did, except for a couple of times. Matthew, Mount of Transfiguration, etc. And in the process, so they have the exposure. So they have the same. And Judas just never caught on. He knows this, as we shared together. He just didn't understand where Christ was coming from. He just didn't understand it from a heaven's standpoint. He didn't understand it. So therefore, when he saw that it was going to crash, Christ was going to die, and all that he had anticipated of somehow overcoming the Roman Empire, somehow restoring the Jewish system, and he would be in the top, have an advantage, being on the in crowd, one of the disciples. About that, it wasn't going to happen. So he's going to quit. And he sells, betrays our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, etc. Now, so having said that, God is giving us this section, 18, 19 and that, for what? To help us understand something. To help us understand to what degree did the disciples, does the world understand what God is doing? To what measure do they understand? Chapter 18, 19 is going to help us. Here's Judas, the first one. Now, and we come along, and then we come to verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, that we're going to cover that, but John, we already have some information. We can't do all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John gives us the four windows to see a complete picture. Be like an accident, and four people see the accident. Four people will see the accident, and there'll be differences between how they see it. And you need all four reports to get the picture. Now, so here is, so in order to do that, a little bit anyway, because you want to understand Peter. We sought to understand Judas. So, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 4. And we're looking at Peter, as you know, and seeing how he does. So in Matthew chapter 4, you'll remember our Lord he's preaching, verse 17, from that time, John the Baptist is preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 17, Jesus picked up the message. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus, as he's moving about, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So they were fishing, doing the job, earning a living. 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, having said that, now this is their business. This is their livelihood for their family. So, here comes our Lord telling them, if you can just imagine them doing the job, work. And the Lord says, follow me. That's it, right now. And he's still walking. He didn't stop and have a discussion. He said, follow me, and kept moving. Verse 20. Then, and they straightway, immediately, left their nets and followed him. So whatever, wherever the net was, in the water, out of the water, full of fish, no fish, they dropped the net and followed him. They didn't go home, check with anybody, I'm leaving. They didn't do anything. They didn't take they didn't check their pocketbook. They didn't check anything. They literally dropped the net and followed him, period. No preparation whatsoever. They did that. So did the others, not all, but so they did that. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and that's Peter. We're looking at Peter in particular, Peter and Andrew, his brother. So Peter did that. Peter didn't mess around. He understood. He caught the flavor, the moment the Lord himself conveyed his wonderful person, and Jude and Peter picked it up and followed him. Now, having said that and following him, so therefore he follows him. And they, with the disciples, over to Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, you're going to remember, the Lord Jesus, verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? How are people understanding my wonderful person? And verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so they say they all kinds of different ways to see him and to talk about him. He's certainly special. He's not the average. And in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed, happy are you, art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You didn't know any better than they did, except God gave you that information right now. God opened your mouth, and you said who he was. That's what he did. Peter, did you understand it? No, I just said it. I don't know why I said it. Out it came. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's true. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, following Peter a little bit, and in the process where you're here, in chapter 16, and Peter, so he did all of that, and then the Lord added, he told them, remember, I say unto you, verse 18, I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou wilt, thou shalt bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be loosed on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. All of that, but we can't do that right now, and you know it anyway. Anyway, but now, having said that to them, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. After telling him, remember now, Peter didn't get it. God gave it to Peter to say. So the disciples are there. Do they understand where he's going, what he's doing? No, they don't. And you can't go around because people are already calling him Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Oh, they're saying all kinds of things. Peter, James, and John, and all of them are to keep quiet. Why? There's great hostility rising up. This is a year before his crucifixion is coming. And they're saying all kinds of things. It isn't correct what they're saying. All they're doing is making more and more confusion. Be quiet. Don't say anything. And then he says, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He told them how it's going to be. 1, 2, 3, 4, how it's going to be. Wonderful, wonderful. Verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, Peter, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to follow him. I'm following him. I made a commitment to follow him. That's what I'm doing. I dropped everything to follow him. I'm going to follow him. I want to follow him. He's the right one to follow. Now, and in the process, here he just said, he just told us, verse 21, he's going to be before the elders and scribes and everybody, and he's going to be crucified and rise again. He's going to die. Now, don't say that. Is this if he's talking to the Lord? Don't say that, Lord. Don't say that to them. Don't say that about yourself. You don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Okay. And he turned, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter, you have no understanding of where I'm doing, what I'm doing. Neither do the others. Now hang on. They don't have it. They should have it. They don't. They understand something special. Everything they're looking at is no higher than the stars. Everything is earthly. Their whole life is looked at from an earthly standpoint. Heaven and the distant future is, who knows what that is for sure. So that's us. So we're trying to have, here's the gospel. Well, hang on. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 6. And you'll see why they weren't to say anything. John chapter 6, and may I go to verse 6 and verse 15. I'll read verse 14. Remember, now he did all the feeding the 5,000 and all 15,000. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He went away. Why did he go away? Because the crowd doesn't understand. And when God healed and did all those things, that's wonderful stuff. You need to be our king on our terms, in our world, you need to be a king. That's what they saw. And the Lord Jesus said, nothing doing. Did the disciples understand? No, they didn't. Neither did the people. The people didn't understand. So therefore, over if I can, in chapter 6, going if I can to verse 26. Jesus answered, 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Your motivation's wrong, your thinking's wrong. You don't even understand what I'm doing or why I'm here. Don't understand it. Now, having said that, and verse over to 66, 6 and 66. And may I pick up, please, in verse 65. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So the whole thing, the more you understand, the more he said, the more they didn't understand, and the more they said didn't line up with what they think, what they feel, what they want. It didn't line up with it. So it was foreign to them and offensive to them. And you'll see it. Picking up if I can. Going over to verse, pick up the next statement, by the way. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. But you, and, verse 70, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil, a demon, etc. Now, so in the process, they knew, they could say it, then they followed him, and they did everything, but they were locked on. They were locked on to their thinking, how they think. You can read your Bible, and I can read the Bible based on what I think. And I read it as I understand, as I feel, in my world, my background, my experience, my education, how I think, how I've developed in my little mind. And when I read it, my mind is taking those words, and by the time they leave the Bible, who knows what they are when they get to me. So, and that's what I do. So therefore, all of those wonderful, wonderful truths that they said had to be understood from an earthly position. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, as we understand it, you see. There's no one else, God, that has the words of life except you, as we understand it, as we perceive it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if we can, over in chapter 13, back over, if I can, in the light of that. So here's Peter. Peter and the disciples are going along, and you have to have that part of it in your mind a little bit, that Peter, when Peter rebuked him, he thought he had the right to rebuke him because Jesus wasn't thinking right. Anyway, now, so back over to Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, may I go to verse 31. 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never, never be defended. Never, I'll never be offended. I won't. God, no matter what you say, it won't cause me to be trouble. That's a joke. So, now, I'll not be offended. And Jesus said, I'm going to help you, Peter. Verse 34. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. You say, hang on, do it again, a little different. Over to Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, if I can, in verse 31. Remember, this is at the Lord's table in the upper room. Chapter 22, picking up in verse 30. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's an awesome future. But it's all earthly as they see it. Somehow. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Peter, Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you, to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan got Judas, and Satan's going after you personally. Fortunately, Fortunately, anyway, Satan can only one, so he can do so much. He has a lot of henchmen, demons. Now, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. That's what I want. When you get converted. And picking up, please, in verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me, that thou knowest me. You're going to deny me. Verse 35. He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Remember when they went out, Matthew 10 and all of that? They just went, like they did when God called them. They dropped the net and went. So they sent them all out without anything. No money, no food, no water, no extra pair of stockings, nothing. Out they went. And God took care of them 1,000%. Never had a problem. Whatever it was, it never had a problem. And there's 36. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, a little bag to carry everything, pocketbook. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Buy a sword. I want you to buy a sword. You're going to need a sword. 37. For I say unto you that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at his coming, crucifixion. Verse 38. Then, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. They took an inventory, since he just said, go sell whatever you got here and get a couple of swords. And they had an inventory among them. The 12 looked, and we don't know that they had more, but they found two of them. In other words, Peter pulled out his out of his pocket, out of his sheath. He pulled his sword out, and one of the other guys pulled his sword out. Say, we got two swords. And he went, that's enough, the Lord said. That's enough, no more. And it came out, and he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. So when it comes to the sword, you're going to have to understand that you need them. You don't need them to protect God. You don't need them to help God. You don't need to do that. God doesn't need your protection, obviously. God doesn't need your protection. But you're in a world that you do need protection, and that you need to do. That you need to do. So there's nothing, you have to do it. Protect yourself. And remember, if you're thinking that, say, well, the Ten Commandments said thou shalt not murder, and that's what it says. It doesn't say kill. The word kill is the word murder. Two different words. Kill, murder. Two different words. Thou shalt not murder. Killing is something else. Has to be done. As you know. You don't know that. Think of Exodus 20 where it says that. Then go to Exodus 21 where it says to the parents, if your son gets that bad, kill him. You parents cast the stones to kill him. You cast the stone first. Wow. You see. Wow. Well, because you can't have that. You can't have that in God's team, in God's people, with God's people, as it were. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, and then over to John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, pick up, please, if I can, in verse, remember what Peter, we're looking at Peter, and his understanding is all earthly. That's where it is. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, even though Peter followed him at the beginning. You cannot follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Later you can follow me, but not now. Verse 37. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake. I'm going to give my life. Wow. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, this the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. So now, having said that, Romans in chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, we are reminded, chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 6. For when we were yet without Christ's strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He did that. For scarcely, hardly, for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, and people are dedicated. People are dedicated, people, even for good, in a good way. People risk their lives, people drowning, people in a terrible situation, and the person goes into the fire, the fireman, into the fire to try to save them, and they don't come out. They do good things, and they committed things. In the world, that happens, but not too often. But it happens in the world. Scarcely it happens. But, verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God died for all of us. There was a commitment. God made it. Humans do it, but what do we gain? What do we gain when we do it? The person in the fire dies and I die. We both die going in. That's true, but what do we understand? What did we accomplish? We died. And the world looks and says, heroes, like the policemen, heroes. They got caught by the bad guys. It happens. But when we're done, what do? We bury, we have coffins and bury and memorials, and we try to do it with flowers. When we're all done, that's all we do. God, there has to be something else more than this. Now, so therefore, verse 10, much more Christ died, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ, saves us from the wrath of God. For, verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, when we were totally lost and God saved us by the death of his Son, much more, how much more when he saves you, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's wonderful, wonderful outworking in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And so therefore, God, and what you're doing and how you do it, and God's going to go and outwork it all. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they're going to do that. And then the angels, they're going to arrest him, etc. Back over to Matthew 26 for staying with that one. Matthew 26, and go to verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Now remember, without going back to John 18, Peter happens to know the high priest. He happens to know the servant that steps forward to get the Lord. And Peter doesn't know. So Peter takes his dagger. It's a dagger. It isn't a big, long sword. It's the kind of dagger, short sword, you put in your sheath underneath your token. And he pulled it out and here's Peter. Remember, Peter followed him. Peter's, I'll die for you, okay? And remember now, we shared it last time, think of it. Here's the 600 Roman soldiers, 600. There's no room for anybody else. And then there's the Sanhedrin temple police and the officials. They're all there. And the high priest, servant, slave, steps forward to take Jesus. Peter, you have to be looking at all this crowd with their swords and everything. And he pulls out his sword and he attacks the high priest servant. Now, whether the high priest servant ducked, we don't know, but Peter wasn't a very good shot because he missed his head and got his ear, took his ear off. The servant's name is Malchus, because Peter knew the guy. John didn't know the guy, awesomely, if you just imagine this, would you not think that here's this vast multitude of people with swords and spears? Wouldn't you think they'd step forward and clobber Peter? Wouldn't you think that? Peter's got a sword, the guy pulls out his gun, aren't you gonna do something? So here he comes, and no one did anything, because God was in charge of it. God was wonderfully in charge of the whole thing, and no one, all he did is, Peter, put up your sword. He didn't say throw it away. He said put it back in the sheath, you're gonna need it. But put it back in the sheath. And he then turned around and looked at Malchus and put his ear back on. Now that's a miracle. Remember, he already got 600 men fell down, we shared last time, when he said, I am. Here's the second miracle. He went, and here they are all looking. Here's his ear, whatever, on wherever it is. And hopefully, he had whatever. And God just took the ear and put it back on perfectly. Now, it's hard to find a doctor like that. It's just hard to find a doctor that can do that. He just did it. And then he did that. And he said, now, go sit down. Go sit down. But relax. But boy, it's... No, not when God's in it. When God's in it, and God's doing what he's doing. Relax. Say, it's important. No, don't even think about it. That could happen. It could, but I'm not going to let it happen. So if I want it to happen, it will. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if we can, here they are, and they engage the Romans. And in the process, what do we know? Well, God, it isn't the sword. Could the sword have been enough? Did they even need a sword? No. No, for all those men, 600 plus, who knows how many others, temple guard, Sanhedrin, wow. Samson, God, and the jawbone of an ass, 1,000 men with no sweat. That's not with a cannon, that's with the jawbone of an ass. And you have to swing the jawbone. And the jawbone should break somewhere, but it never broke. It never broke. And he did that. When God wants to do something, he can do it. If God doesn't want to do it, it won't happen. So here we are. Here's all those men doing what they're doing. And now, here's Peter. Here's all the disciples. They're all going to flee. They're all going to run away. Understandably, and God, remember we shared in Over in John chapter 18, do that, I guess. And in John chapter 18, picking up, if I may, up please, in the process, picking up in verse 8, 18, 8. Jesus answered and told and said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That's a command. God in Christ is commanding the captain of the 600 men, the leader, the leadership, let them go. That wasn't a request, that's a command. And he did that in the light, remember, of Genesis 17, John 17, I should say, in John chapter 17, and if I can, in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I protect them, keep them from evil. I'm going to do that. So leave them alone. But they all ran, understandably. They fled. Peter and John fled, but then they're back in following into the palace of the high priest. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so what have we got? Well, we got us earthly humans and us earthly humans. Now, we know in John chapter 1, you have to turn there, in chapter 1 and verse 10, he came into the world, and the world system, from north to south, east to west, they didn't want to know him. They didn't care. They didn't care. God had a wonderful plan why they were created, and they didn't care. They didn't know. And verse 11, John 1:11, he came unto the Jews, and the Jews received him not. They didn't want him. So verse 12, he then says, well, does anyone want me? Whosoever will receive the Lord, God is able to save them, etc. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Now, having said that, here they are, all there. And so we got the disciples and the Jews and the Gentiles. Why? Back to our thing. God, what are you helping us with? Everything you said in the upper room is wonderful. You're going to go to the cross and die. But understand, chapter 18, 19, understand what? The world doesn't know what I'm doing, doesn't care what I'm doing, and they're going to crucify me. You have to understand, even the disciples are all going to run. They don't understand, because we're living this way. Everything's this way. Okay, now, having said that, so what do we know, God? We have commitments and all of those different things, but we don't understand God. And going back, history, you know, if you go back in history, with all of its ups and downs, you have the gods. And we have gods, Marduk and Zeus and everybody else. It's all history. All the nations have gods. Gods. And then we got religions and gods. But then gods have diminished. Understand, we've said these, and you know it. The gods have diminished. And down, the down. And what has taken, what has happened? Think of the 1700s and all of that. And rationalism comes in, all of these different things. And then 1800, plus or minus, you have a Darwin, etc., Engels and the Darwin, and evolution. And they come up with evolution. But evolution yields to socialism, communism, evolution, Marx, communism, the middle of the 1800s. Where, and then go looking for the gods. It's hard to find the gods across the world. The system is changing. Materialism, godless, evolution has no place for God. The whole system we're going, that's where we're headed. But unless something stops and gives us a little reprieve, we are surely headed there. Wow. It'll be different, it'll not be communism. The Antichrist is not a communist. A communist have what? No gods. True? No gods. The Antichrist wants to be what? God. He wants to be God. Different. But this materialism, here we are. So, good and evil. Do we understand good and evil in our world? Not really, not really. Good in the light of God, evil in the light of our human nature? No, we don't understand that. Right and wrong, life and death? Do we understand life and death? We do, but we don't. Do we know what life is? No, because we only know what death is. We have physical life, but we don't know what life is. So life and death. So there's no place for God. There's no place for the gospel, the good news, the good news. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll turn there for that. I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians 15. And the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 2. 15:2, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, 4, what do we need to understand? The gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, and of the 12. God, a whole thing is taken. The good news, according to the Scriptures, Christ died. Why? Because the system is condemned. We keep trying to keep everybody in the system, making the system continue. We're dedicated, trying to do it. God isn't interested in the system. He isn't interested in one politician versus another politician. He's interested in you being saved out of the politicians, out of the system. That's what he's looking for. So as we're living in a, they didn't, we go to church, Islam, Allah, thousands, we bend down, pray, five times, whatever it is, five times a day. We do it. Roman Catholicism, Protestantism even, what have we got? When you really sit and examine it, ask them. I'm a Lutheran, I'm a whatever you are. Well, where does that leave you? With God. What relationship do you have with God? When I was with some people the other day, businesses, in the process, I gave them some tracks, it worked out fine. I said, do you have a Bible? No, I don't have, my mother had one. I'll see if I can find it. These are people, dear people. Where are you with your thinking about God? What's going on out there? To what measure do you understand God and the gospel? Peter didn't, Judas didn't, the disciples didn't, the world doesn't. They don't care. They don't care. This is it. That's what they're all working for, school, work, home. Think of the gas price. Think of the oil price. Think of all these things. Wow. And it won't be. I told the persons. I said it won't be. The public won't wake up. I was trying to get him to vote right in Connecticut. Anyway, in the process, it won't hurt till they can't pay the oil bill and their stomach hurts because there's not enough food in it. Then, maybe. But not always, because dedicated people, which is what they are up there, dedicated. And when dedicated people are dedicated, and you've met some of them, you'll know them, they'll die, and literally they'll die. They'll give their life for what they believe, and that's what they're doing. They don't care. As long as this doesn't remain the kind of nation that the dear founding fathers founded, they want it gone, and they don't care the cost, even to themselves. And that's why you can't help them. Because they're plain committed to it. You can't reason, you can't talk about it, because they don't understand it. I gotta quit. We didn't get very far. Do you understand? God, what? We're in the presence of God. You have the Word of God in front of you. God meant what he says and says what he means. Wonderfully so. Now, God, I need to let God, he's written it down, I need to let God say what he said. And I'm not going to help him say it. I just want to read it. What does he say? I don't want to give my thought about it and all the things in my mind. I just want to go, and what does he say? God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I got it. I want you to receive my Son as your Savior. I got it. That's what I want. I got it. I'm not going to help God. Awesome, wonderful. Why did you die? Why? To give you the good news. In the midst of all the bad news, that you can have the wonderful, eternal good news forever. You'll never be in the bad news. Everything else, you may end up getting butchered in the butcher shop, make believe. But it's all right. They only can butcher your hands and feet. They can't butcher your life. They can't touch your soul. Only the devil can touch your soul, and evil, and I save your soul, and that's you inside. So when it comes, it's coming. I don't know, it's going to be, I don't like it, you don't like it, I wish it wasn't, but do you know what? In the midst of the thick and thin, when everything's going apart, I know, my God, we're saved and safe. No matter how it looks, we're safe. If you aren't saved, you can never say that. But when you're saved, that's what God, the good news. Thank you, God. It isn't about here. It's about you and there. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's a tough thing. But you have to understand why God's doing it. The disciples and them, people did not, everything was this level. And when you talk to people, they'll talk religion up to their eyeballs. And they talk about all the church and things, but they don't talk about knowing him as your Lord and Savior. A personal, we'll pick it up tonight, personal relationship to God. Well, I got to quit. Thank you for your patience and everything. What can I tell you?